to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
This morning we have, let's call it a devotional. And I wasn't due to be preaching this week, but I did a devotional with our staff on Tuesday, and they asked for it to be presented here today. So we are heading there, and just so you can look forward in advance, well, actually, I might begin now. So if you're new with us, my drawing skills are one of the lowest gifts that God has given me. So this is more for your enjoyment, and hopefully you can make sense of what we have here. Okay, so this is trying to be a person. So if we come down and here we've got a foot there, and so it's looking this way. So that's the nose, okay? And so you got a bit of hair going on, and you're happy, and. And then here's the arm, okay? Coming off there. That's good. That's good. That's good. So apart from this thing, need to connect that up. That's better. And here we go. We'll get you some clothes on. Okay, so you got, there you go. So you're looking good. And you've been working out. You got like tidy little bum cheeks there. That's, I've been working those glutes. So, okay, so. So there you are, and we're springboarding from the book of Ephesians. And can I encourage you, if you haven't been reading Ephesians, please do. Please jump into what I so know God is speaking to us. And I want you to make a decision at one stage to read through the entire book in one sitting. It'll take you 20 minutes. Or you can listen to it. You get the YouVersion Bible app, put it on audio. At one speed, you can get through the entire book, all six chapters in 20 minutes. Or at 1.25 speed, it's a little quicker. 1.5 speed, it's a little quicker again. Don't go faster than that or you don't actually really hear what you're hearing. So we're going to be diving around the book of Ephesians. Again, I'm not trying to teach this passage today. And you can go back messages from this year or you can, I know even in college they've been digging into this as well. But this is it's a devotional framework today. And a picture that God gave me for our church that I'll be sharing with us. So here we go from Ephesians chapter 6. And so I'd encourage you, even if you want to open your Bible app here, the scriptures won't be coming up because we'll be banging through multiple scriptures quite quickly. So here from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And if this is your first time in church ever, just buckle on in for the next little while. So we're diving in here, Ephesians 6 verse 10. This is at the back end of the book. And we've talked a lot about what's been happening already in the first five chapters. And here we go. It's being rammed home here by the Apostle Paul. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. So it's possible for you to not be strong in the Lord. You can be around strength, but not be strong. And so here's an encouragement to be strong. And then he tells us how to do it. He doesn't just leave us empty here. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. To put something on, just like you chose to put your clothes on this morning. Thank you, Lord. You put your clothes on. You made a choice to put them on. And here we're told to make a similar choice, that it doesn't just happen by osmosis. You don't just wake up dressed, ready for church, unless you slept in what you're wearing. That's just weird. You made a choice to put them on. And so here we're told to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, the devil's strategies. And so right here, if you're kind of new to the God thing and you've just rocked up in church and you're like, did he just say devil? Like, didn't the devil go out of fashion 100 years ago? We are engaged in a spiritual world that goes far beyond what our eyes can see. And in our clever humanistic ways, in our Western world right now is we try and take spirituality out, or we insert some kind of spirituality where we can just make our own rules. That I'm going to worship a God that's really a God of my own making, where I'm going to pull a little bit of this philosophy, a little bit of that religion, a little bit over here, and I'm going to create this God image that works for me. And when we actually do that, we're not worshiping a God, we're actually worshiping ourselves. Because we've created this image, which we're now feeling okay about having some level of spirituality, just in case any of that's real. But what we've done is we've torn all of the truth and the power out of what we're now worshiping. And so what we have is we have this epidemic of hopelessness in our Western world, where we're worshiping ourselves, or we're saying there is no spiritual layer. And we've stripped out how we've been born. It's woven into the fabric of who we are by God, to engage and to know Him and to have His love and life alive in us, for our eyes to be opened so we can begin to see into the spiritual world, which is just as real as this world in which we live here, this tangible world. And so here where we have this little unpacking and this reminder at the back end of this book, where the Apostle Paul is saying to the early church, I want you to be reminded that it's not just what you can see, but there is a spiritual battle that is waging around you, that there is a war that is on. And so I want you to be equipped. And so we should not be fearful, but we need to be aware. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, the devil's strategies. And what I want us to think about is, so here's a little... Okay, this is where the drawing gets really bad. This is a circular board table. It looks like it actually needs a head on it, then it becomes a cat or something, but it's not. It's this is a table, and I should be able to draw better. And here's some chairs, okay, that you can tell they're better, right? The chairs are better than the table. So those are chairs, and here sitting on them are little demons, okay? I guess they got arms. And so here we go. And so they got a little, yeah, so they're hanging out here. And so, and here's some, like, papers and maybe there's an iPad and I got some, there's a computer. Yeah, that's good. And it's got Google Maps open. And so here, these guys are strategizing. This gets a little interesting. Again, if you're new with us, just hang on for a sec. Come with us on the journey. Strategizing what they can do to limit the life that God has purchased for us. The life that Jesus Christ won on the cross for every single one of us. That here, this is Bible. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And therefore, put on the full armor of God. We'll get there in a sec. But here's the deal. These guys are strategizing how to limit the call of God on your life, how to keep you separated from Him. They've been watching humanity since the dawn of time, understanding human psychology more than any psychologist, and looking for ways to limit what God wants to do in and through us. And so they're coming up with these plans that are firing at us. And so strategizing. So let's continue here in the word. So from verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And when you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. And it goes through the different pieces of the armor. And this is where I want us to park quickly today in verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Just say flaming arrows. Flaming arrows of the evil one. So here is this picture. Schemes, strategies. How to limit what God wants to do in and through you. Like these flaming arrows that not if they are coming at you. Each and every one of us. Not just if you're a really important Christian or a new Christian or a whatever, every single one of us to limit the victory of the work of Christ being appropriated daily in our lives. And so this picture of the shield of faith here, as we were in a staff prayer meeting, I don't know, this was maybe 6 weeks ago, we were praying for you guys, for our church, for locations, and as I was praying, I had this crazy picture of a shield coming out of my mouth. And so out of my mouth was this, which is, you know, shields are really big. They don't come out of your mouth easy. And it was coming out of my mouth and then taking position as a shield should in front. And what I felt God was joining, the dots that were being connected, the shield of faith that we are talking about here, which is designed to be a block between the arrows that are coming at us, and it's the only piece of the armor that is talked about that would actually shield us. And so here, coming out of our mouth, this is good, right? It's a good drawing. And out of our mouth is the shield. Oh, it's a heavy shield. And you're now holding onto it with your fingers. These are good fingers. And so we have this shield, and I'm not going to teach you on all the nuances of shield and analogies back to Roman military and picture that was created there. What I want us to pick up on today is that the shield of faith was coming out of our mouth. And there is a faith declaration that God has designed to be alive in every single one of us. That it's in the nature of God, as God spoke and life was created on planet Earth. That there's this creative faculty that has been woven into us because it's God's nature that is then alive in us. And so he calls us to be his mouthpiece here on earth as we are his ambassadors, that we would be filled with his spirit and that there would be a sound that comes out of his people, that comes out of his church, that is the sound of faith, where there is a faith that strengthens us and strengthens others. And it's a sound that is opposite so often to the sound of this world. And so how are you doing in declaring faith over yourself, over your kids, over your business, over your circumstance, over that brilliant thing, over that crazy challenge? How are you doing letting this faith declaration come out of our mouth so that we are shielded from whatever is coming against you? Because the picture here is clear. No shield, you will get hit. If we're not putting on the armor of God, stepping into that place of faith each day, because there are messages from this world that are coming at you a million miles an hour, that we are saturated by the mess of sin, that there are words that would come into our mind that are woven into our flesh, disconnected from his spirit, that would create a narrative in your mind about who you are or who you're not, that might be totally out of alignment with the word of God. But unless we're coming with that shield, then we will get hit with these arrows. It just makes sense, right? No shield, you're going to get hit. So it's imperative that through the busyness of our lives, we make space to shield up. We make time to make that choice. I am getting my shield on. I'm declaring faith into my circumstance. Because I so passionately want you and I free. And I keep seeing the depths of the victory of Christ. And the more I know him, the more I want to know him. It's like the deeper I dive into who he is, the deeper I see there's more that I haven't yet discovered. The layer of freedom that he awoke in me, I see there's greater layers of freedom that I haven't yet experienced. And I so passionately want every single one of us on that journey. That is living. That is what we are here for. That is life to the full that Christ purchased for us and us appropriating that in our lives. But I see these arrows that are coming against us that would, see, in Ephesians 1, it starts by making something clear. And that's our identity and where our identity is anchored in Christ. And there are so many messages that are flying around our world about where you can find your identity and what defines you. And there is a reality that goes beyond our world. And there is a call to each one of us. And if we flick to Ephesians 1, we see, and this is crazy. Let's just open our hearts to hear this, to see this in verse 4. He chose us. He chose us. God chose you. He chose you in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. This is revolutionary for any human being. To go before the world was formed, before creation existed, there was a God, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, perfectly holy and pure. And he saw me, you, here in 2019. He saw you here before all of this existed. And he, according to his good pleasure, knowing that you would bring him such joy and pleasure, he called you to be his own. He gave you this invite into his royal family and said, come on. Come on in. Through the perfection of Jesus Christ, you can come in. You can step through a door that you don't deserve to step through because my son has made a way. Because the blood of Christ has cleansed your sin, has washed away the junk and the mess and the pain. And so come on in and dive into this family. He chose you before he created the world. And so when we think about our identity and how we can be filled with these mixed messages, how we can one moment value ourselves and another moment be beating ourselves up so bad, how we could be comparing ourselves with others and feeling like we fall so short. And we then start to form our identity through our senses rather than through our Creator. And when we find our identity in Christ and let that continually unfold for us and see just how loved we are, just how cherished we are, how just by breathing, you bring him pleasure. It eradicates so much of the mess that goes on in our head. And it positions us in a place of identity where we then start thinking like he wants us and needs us to think, like sons and daughters of the King of all kings, like the ones he's chosen to be here on planet Earth, being his hands and feet. But there are messages from this world that would want to come and shatter our identity in Christ. And without this shield, we will not have clarity in our identity. And Ephesians continues along that line, and then we have this transition point halfway through in Ephesians 4 where we now begin to practically outwork so much of what we've learned in the first three chapters, which really is instilling the strength of identity with inside of us. And Ephesians 4:1, we hear about living our call. And so these arrows that come at us, they want to undermine your identity in Christ. And they want to begin to chip away at the sense of call, the sense of purpose, the sense that drives each and every one of us when we let it. It fires on the inside. Where there is something of God that is alive in us, then there is a sense of call that gets continually awakened as we allow Him to. Where there would be a passion that drives us, that has caused men and women of God through the centuries to do the most extraordinary things, to live in the most horrendous of circumstances, to give their lives in the most incredible of ways, to believe for something that is beyond this world and to reach out for it and be willing to pay a great price. And there is a call that God wants to beat in our chest that is so unique to you, that would you be you alive in your workplace with that sense of call, you alive in your family, hearing that sense of call in that time, mom, as you're raising those little kids, that it's not just a season to get through, but there is a strong heavenly call that is awakened on the inside. So your mothering is filled with the power of God. There is an anointing in your home, and it's not just a faith shield that you have for yourself, but it's being declared over those little kids, teaching them how to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. So there is this glorious reality. Is this okay today? Is this, you doing all right? Doing all right. Happy little church devotion here today. And again, if you've just wandered in and this is your first time in church, it's awesome. So good. Thank you for having the guts to come to church. You are 100% welcome. Whether you feel like you understand everything that's been talked about or whether you're like, have I just arrived on another planet? Jump in. You're loved by Him, and let us love you too. And come on this crazy adventure of discovering who God is and then therefore who He's called you to be. I want us to, we're going to flick really quickly. How are we doing? We got 10 minutes left. We're doing all right. We're doing all right. Here we go. Joshua chapter 6. And I'm just going to finish by pulling this together here. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. There is an element to faith that is seeing something that doesn't exist, but understanding that it does. We come to God, that initial connection with God. His extraordinary grace is just reaching out to us. And then as we come to Him with faith, believing that He is God, He is who He says He is, and we take that step into that incredible platform of grace, and there is this extraordinary connection, and we become sons and daughters of God. We're welcomed in to the family. So faith is seeing God, even though you can't tangibly see like we do here, because we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. So it's a seeing that goes beyond this world. And this is the journey as Christians that God wants us to always be on, where our eyes are open to see beyond what we can see here. There are other layers of seeing, and faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And part of our faith declaration here are strong words of faith that are in accordance with His word, that would declare His reality into our circumstance, that are strong in Him. And it sees a change. It sees His power. It sees His life coming in. And here in Joshua chapter 6, and this is the people of God stepping, and God's promised them a land of their own. And so they're moving and they're marching, and they come across this city called Jericho. And it's got these giant walls, 2 meters thick, 10 meters high. And they're given this Incredible little strategy by God. And I just want to quickly touch on this today. Joshua 6, verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in or out." So that's verse 1. So the gates are barred. It's 10 meters high, 2 meters thick, they're impenetrable. And here, the very next verse, "Then the Lord said to Joshua," who was the leader at this time, he said, See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands." There was. He's looking at the city with walls like they've never seen. The gates are barred, and God says, "See, I've given it to you." This is how we have to approach life with Christ. He says, "See through the circumstance and see the truth. See through the normal and see the miraculous. See through it." And so here, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." And here in verse 3, straight away it goes from "see" into strategy. "So march around the city once with all your armed men, do this for 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, and blow your horns at the right time, and do this and this, and then the walls are going to crumble down." It's a ridiculous strategy. Like, it's laughable. But Joshua leads his team. They outwork the strategy. They step out the strategy, and they see the miracle unfold. So part of this for us is we need to let God help us see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. So we help him to show us, and we see in ways we can't see. And then here there was a strategy that was unfolded. God said, "This is what I want you to do." And so the business that we had before we stepped here, I clearly saw that God wanted us to do this business, saw the opportunities, and God gave us a strategy for how we were going to implement that. And our business was the fastest growing of its kind in the nation, because this is how God works. We take steps of faith, but he wants to help us in those steps of faith. And so that's what we finish with. And so there is a seeing, there is a strategy, and then there is a step. And I want to give us this encouragement this morning, and please hear this the right way. Now you're all really interested. What's he going to say? Earlier this year, if you're part of our church family, you know I felt God clearly say to stop doing our standard Sunday night service and turn it into kind of prayer encounter worship space. It was, and I've seen things that are going to happen. This was the strategy. Saw it. We talked about it when this is crazy. Our night service has got 150 people coming. It's doing really well. And we want to ditch that and turn it into a prayer meeting. That'll get 10 people here. It's stupid leadership. Just like marching around the city of Jericho. Boop, blow those trumpets, it's going to help. Walls always come down when you blow trumpets. So here's the challenge for us, is to step. And I want to lay the opportunity out to us and let us see this with fresh eyes. Our Ascend Sunday nights, 5 p.m., typically go for an hour, are a key part of God's strategy for us to take a hold of the victory that has been provisioned for us. City of Jericho was provisioned. God said, "It's yours. Take it." But then God expected Joshua to walk in obedience to what he had said. And we have these crazy tension points in our faith where God's sovereignty and human obedience somehow meet in the middle, and we see miracles. We don't crowbar God with our faith, and God's sovereignty doesn't mean we're just these jellyfish who float along and God figures it all out and we're not involved in the process. No, he's a father who's calling his kids up saying, come on, my son, my daughter, grab my heart. I want you to feel my heart, know my heart, and step out in that space and let's do something extraordinary together. That's the heart of any parent. You want to invest into your kids and teach and train them and have them know your heart so that even when you're not around or even when they're not hearing your voice explicitly, they understand which way to walk and how to move and who to be and what to do because your heart is alive inside of them. And it's God's heart for us that we would step this out. And so I know that there are some of us here who need to step into a place of victory, and Ascend Sunday nights are a part of that for you. And some of us haven't been because we go, I'm too busy. And the last thing I want to do is add any more work to anyone's plate. The last thing I want to do is make anyone busier here. I want you to excel in your workplace and to have space to be extraordinary mums and dads and kids and friends and all of that. So the last thing we're going to do is just put on more stuff for the sake of more stuff. This isn't just more stuff. This is us engaging with God and having time and space. And sometimes our tiredness is because we have a little too much recreation and not enough refilling. And there are spaces in us that recreation can't fill because only He can. And He's the source of energy and the font of life. And so sometimes we don't need to watch TV for an hour. We need to just come and sit on the altar for an hour. And so maybe that's for you. That's probably for 40, 50 people here. Some of us, we haven't come out to prayer because we have a fear thing. And so this whole premise of this faith shield and speaking faith over your world into your business is like, I can't do that. That's a pastor's job. No. And if fear prevents us from stepping in to something He has, then it's actually a clear indication that some of these have got stuck in us. Some arrows that have got stuck. And God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, self-control. He calls us to step through that fear and grow through it with Him. And so maybe fear, you go, oh, what if they make me pray out loud? Or what if all the whatevers? And I want you to step through that. Because faith doesn't not feel fear. It just steps with it and eventually steps through it. And so that fear doesn't bother you anymore. There's always another one. We've got to step through that next one that comes our way. Shield of faith in place. And so can I encourage you? Can we, actually, have we got the Ascend Sunday night slides there? So here we go. Can we go back to September? Have we got that one first? Beautiful. So here we go. So I just want you to pick some, one, all. Some of you, I felt as I was praying for this, you need to make a decision that you're going to come to everyone and just go, yeah, it's kind of how I roll, Jason, as a person. I'm kind of all in or not in. So if I'm going to fast, I'm going to hardcore fast. If I'm going to pray, I'm going to really pray. If I'm going to start exercising, I'm really starting exercising. I have to jump all in. So some of you are like that and you go, you know what? I'm just jumping right in. And so jump right in. So tonight we have worship. Yeah, beautiful. Thanks, Callum. Worship, open altar, prayer ministry for healing. So literally, band's going to do its thing. There's worship and it's just time to pray and soak. And if you have any needs, you can come and we'll pray with you and believe with you. We're going to see healings. We're going to see the power of God. There's prophetic words that are going to be given. And some of the most life-changing moments in my life have happened as I've made space to be on the altar. So that may be for you. The 29th, we're coming. We're interceding for influences rising in our church through every generation and for families and friendships being fostered. Let's go to the next one. So there are Life Kids programs there. October. This is crazy. The 6th of October, we have headphones that play music. This is called a silent disco. And we're going to be in one of our rooms with lights and we're just going to praise God crazy. We're just going to be free like David talked about. He was just free of his inhibitions as he praised God in his jocks. We're not going the jocks, but we've got the headphones on and they're going to be blaring praise music and we're just going to praise God. dance. So wear your sneakers. And and all the kids are joining in. Man, I can't wait. I just want to fast forward there right now. And there is a freedom in praise that is powerful. And I believe my wife talked about that last week. And that was an incredible message, Em, last week. If you weren't here, man, get that podcast. And so then the 13th of October is reflective and prayerful space to dream, journal, vision. Kids are out in life, kids. The 20th of October, there's a date night for married couples, and you have to book for that. And so that we're going to be having a meal together that goes for a couple of hours. And so if you're a married couple, I suggest you jump on in. There's only room for about 40, 50 couples. It's free meal. Your kids are looked after. They're fed. Then you just take them home, put them to bed. It's like glorious. And there'll be time to pray in our couples. Don't let that keep you away if you haven't gone there before, okay? Just come along and some great download for us, and then acoustic worship on the 27th. And so there is this intentional flow through Ascend Sunday nights that can help each and every one of us take another step in our faith journey. And if your shield is low, if you're struggling to keep it up, then you need to be found in a place of community where someone else, and again, the imagery here is that there are times as we're all standing together, that there would be the army that would march forward together with its shields interlocked. And so there are times where even, man, if you can't hold your shield up, then you want to be standing real close to people who are. And maybe in a season, that's okay. It's not how we're designed to live for a longer season, but in that season, that's okay. And so come along and be around people of faith and be strengthened. Okay, I think we're good. I think
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.